Lord, I pray the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts may be truly acceptable to you this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today's sermon is about fear. It comes in many different formats. In 1947, Vladimir Zinchenkov, a government accounting clerk in Russia, returned home from a night out drinking and discovered that he'd misplaced 400 ration cards owned by his boss. Not a good thing, because ration cards were a highly prized commodity in post-war Russia. And with Siberia beckoning, Mrs. Zinchenkov advised her husband to make himself scarce. And the next day she told his co-workers that he'd run off with another woman. And for the next 22 years, according to newspaper reports, the terrified Zinchenkov never once left his house. And in 1969, Mrs. Zinchenkov died and her husband went to the local police station to turn himself in. He was told that the ration cards had turned up in his desk drawer the day after he disappeared. You know, it's amazing, isn't it, what fear will do to us, isn't it? I'm sure that you'd heard of Ann Landers, that advice columnist, for many, many years. When she died in 2002, she was getting on average 10,000 letters a day. I bet she didn't answer them all. But she was asked what was the most common problem people write about. And without hesitation, she said fear. You know, fear does come in many forms. Louis Pasteur is reported to have such an irrational fear of dirt and infection that he refused to shake hands with anybody. As said of the Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin, he so feared for his safety that in his residence in Moscow, it contained 8 different bedrooms, and each night he would choose a room at random to sleep in so that no one knew exactly where he was located. And Dr. Phil, on his daily talk show, helps people to get their lives together. Our everyday choices, he says, separate the sane and successful from the frustrated and failing. The important thing to understand, he concludes, is that the number one catalyst in the choices we make is fear. And it's true. The number one problem that causes many of us to make wrong choices is that we're afraid. Afraid of what our friends will think, afraid of ridicule, afraid of failing, afraid of being hurt. And even the disciples of Jesus gave in to fear. Robert Goddard wrote in the book Panicked Room of a recently divorced woman who was pleased to find an apartment in New York for her and her daughter. It was to be a place that they would begin life anew. But their joy turned to terror when 3 criminals broke into their new home. Those criminals were seeking millions of dollars supposedly hidden by the former owner. And to escape, the woman and her daughter retreated into the home's one unique feature, a self-contained concrete room, the panic room. The panic room featured a steel door which couldn't be penetrated, video monitors, a loudspeaker system. And their intention was simple. They would hunker down in safety until the robbers go away. Now, there's much more to the story, but Meg and her daughter sought safety behind the panic room's steel door. And Jesus' disciples, after witnessing their master's crucifixion, retreated into their own spiritual panic room. Fear gripped them. The same people who had arrested and convicted and crucified Jesus were now looking for them. So behind closed doors, they huddled together, seeking refuge. And I guess those disciples figured that they would stay there for a while, wait out the danger, and when the uproar over Jesus had passed, they would slip out of Jerusalem and go back to their old lives. They probably figured that once the crisis was over, they could go back to the way, old way, the way things used to be. Now, if the risen Christ had not appeared to those frightened disciples behind those closed doors and calmed their fearful hearts, you have to wonder whether they would ever amounted to anything at all. They were down, they were disillusioned, they were doubting. Even though some of them had already encountered Christ, risen from the dead, they were still stunned by the events of the preceding days. And the last thing they expected was that this would be the day that would bring greatness out of each and every one of them. And it began when Christ made himself real to them. They were with the door locked in fear when Christ suddenly came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." I wonder whether he was greeting them with a blessing. "Peace be with you," a bit like the greeting of peace that we have, not the chat, but the actual greeting of peace. Or whether it was, "Peace be with you," trying to calm them down. Because there was not much they could do with them while they were cowering in the shadows. You know, we know that Jesus' most common command was to love. But his first one was, "Don't be afraid." But they were afraid, weren't they? It was all too much for them. And so what did he do? He said to them, "Peace be with you." And he showed them his hands and his side. He wanted them to know it was really him. And John tells us that the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And here's the importance of his showing his hands and his side. The greatest problem that the disciples had was the greatest problem that you and I have. It's a lack of faith. What is fear? It's a lack of faith. Faith in ourselves, perhaps, or faith in others. But ultimately, it's a lack of faith in God. If we truly were able to completely trust God and God's love for us, couldn't we handle anything that comes our way? I don't know whether you heard the therapist Rollo May. A number of his books are used in universities. But among his many books is one titled My Quest for Beauty. And the book tells of his life search for beauty. And among the experiences he recounts is a visit to Mount Athos. It's a peninsula in Greece inhabited exclusively by monks. And Rollo May was beginning to recover from a nervous breakdown when he visited Mount Athos. He happened to arrive just as the monks were celebrating Greek Orthodox Easter. And it's a ceremony rich with symbolism and beauty, icons everywhere, incense hung in the air. And at the height of the service, the priest gave everyone present 3 Easter eggs, wonderfully decorated and wrapped in a veil. "Christos Anesti," he said, "Christ is risen." And each person there, including Rollo May, responded according to custom, "He's risen indeed." And here's what's interesting. Rollo May was not a believer. But he writes in his book, "I was seized then by a moment of spiritual reality. What would it mean for our world if he had truly risen?" And the answer to Rollo May's question is easy. No longer would you and I be afraid. If we knew without doubt that in the world that Jesus was risen from the dead, we would fear nothing. Death? No, Death is an entrance to God's glory. If we're a disciple of Jesus, then the day of our dying ought to be one of the happiest days of our lives. And we can say yes to that, but we're not so much different to those disciples on that Easter Sunday. We believe, but there's part of us that's still uncertain, still doubting. And our text today contains a story of doubting Thomas. Well, Thomas has many comrades in arms. We don't necessarily acknowledge it, but he does. Because how many of us literally spend years of our lives worrying about finance, worrying about our health, worrying about our loved ones, worrying about what people think of us, worrying about whether they think of us at all? If we could only trust our lives to God, if we could truly believe that Jesus Christ really did rise from the grave, if we could truly believe that our lives are in God's hands and that God loves us more than we love our own children, then there is no limit to what God might be able to do for us and through us. You know, Jesus appeared to the disciples and he said to them, "Peace be with you." And then, knowing how much their hearts needed reassurance, he repeated again, "Peace be with you." Bob and Gail Potter were foster parents, and one of Potter's foster children was a 6-year-old girl named Sasha. She had been abused and neglected by her family, and she was fearful and unable to trust anyone. Well, one day, Gail discovered that little Sasha was hiding food in a room, not just small snacks. She'd stuffed food into every nook and cranny, hiding it in the closet, under a mattress, behind the door. This little girl had grown up with a fear that there would never be enough. Enough food, enough love, enough security. And she hoarded every bit of food she could, just in case she couldn't trust the adults to take care of her. You know, how sad. And yet, how very much like us. Jesus taught us to pray for our daily bread. He taught us not to look ahead to the next day's cares and concerns. They would take care of themselves. Just focus on today. Trust God. But you know, some of us can't do that, can we? Why? Because deep down, we're a little bit like Sasha. Never enough material resources, never enough love, never enough security. We're afraid. And friends, the meaning of Christ showing his disciples his hands and his side is that it doesn't have to be that way. As someone has said, the presence of fear is a sure sign that we're trusting in our own strength. So when will we quit hoarding life and start trusting our life to loving Heavenly Father? Christ said a second time, "Peace be with you." Then he added these important words, "As the Father sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So why did they need the Holy Spirit? Because he would no longer be with them physically. There would be days, weeks, months and years when they would not be able to reassure themselves by him showing them his hands and his side. They would need to depend on the Holy Spirit, which is to say Christ's Spirit at work in this world. He knew it wasn't going to be easy for them. There would be days when they would face unbelievable hardship and deprivation. And without the assurance of Christ's Holy Spirit, they wouldn't make it. And you know, that's true for us as well. We believe in Christ. Each year, just as we did last week, we have this celebration of Christ's resurrection. And yet, we still live such timid, tentative lives. We need to continually to pray that Christ's Spirit will be as real to us as it was to them. and it was real to them. Look what happened to them. They went from being fearful of being some of the most daring people who ever walked on this earth. Ridicule wouldn't deter them, torture or threat of death. You know, they answered Rollo May's question, what would it mean for our world if he was truly risen? They answered it by the way they lived their lives. Nothing could stop them. And that's why more than 1 billion people on this planet today bow at the name of Jesus Christ. Their terror turned to trusting. Their fear was replaced by faith. They left that panic room to plant the gospel in every corner of the world. Now the question is, what could you and I do if we truly believe that Christ has risen from the dead? Could we make a difference in this world? Could we become more loving, more daring, more dramatic in how we carry the cross of Christ? You know, the words of the song, The Rose, come to mind. It's a heart afraid of breaking that never learns to dance. It's a dream afraid of waking that never takes a chance. It's a one who won't be taken, who cannot seem to give. And the soul afraid of dying that never learns to live. Is that where you are right now? Are you the soul afraid of dying that never learns to live? Are you hiding in your own spiritual panic room? You know, Christ can come into any room if we will let him. Christ can give us peace. He can breathe into us his spirit if we let him. Don't let any more of life pass you by. Christ is alive. There is nothing in heaven or on earth that we ever need to fear again. Amen.